Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Osiris.
What's going on? It is Karina Reichman here, thrilled, inappropriately happy to welcome you back to yet another episode of this glorious podcast that happens to be called Inappropriate Happiness. And I am once again joined by my right-hand man, my mainest dude, my guy, my friend, Isaac Sloan. How the hell are you? Where are you? What's going on?
Karina, I am fantastic. I received a text from you earlier telling me to take a marble cake slice, roll it up into a ball, and shove it into my mouth. And I did just that. And so I'm feeling pretty damn good. Where are you? What's going on?
Was that not the best thing you ever did with yourself? Like, be honest.
I have to thank you. You said you'll thank me later. And I thank you. It was a culinary experience kind of unlike anything I've ever had before.
I'll tell you what, you know, let's just go deep right off the bat. I have a dear childhood friend by the name of Simon Gilbert. Shout out Simon Gilbert, who watched me back in the day take a slice of marble cake, roll it into a ball, and shove the entire thing in my mouth. And, you know, he brings it up every time I see him. His parents bring it up every time he brings me up. And I'd like to think I left a mark on that family in a very marbly way. So glad to pass it all off to you.
I mean, that is an important backstory.
It's really, you got to be hip to these things, people. You got to be hip. It's just, it's important stuff. It's really great. Me, some fifth grade fucking lunatic sticking a marble cake ball in my mouth. I mean, it really just left a big impression on this family. Bless their hearts. Thank you, guys. But I am exceedingly well, Isaac. I am in an undisclosed location mixing my record, and things are going extremely well. It is wildly surreal. I am excited to divulge all of this, but all good things in all good time, as our leader and patron saint Jerome Garcia once said, and I'm really having the time of my life. So this is excellent, and I'm thrilled to once again talk to you via the satellite airwaves that connect us via our cell phones. So this is a beautiful thing, and I'm very excited to talk about all the happenings in music with you. I basically just finished my tour, got home on Sunday afternoon, and then Monday morning I was trucking it to my undisclosed location. So I basically saw you for all of 6 hours, and then I had to leave again, as it goes. So thrilled to dig in and thrilled to make it rain with you on this fine, fine day.
Yes,
here on Inappropriate Happiness.
You had a major gig, a big event last weekend, Sweetwater 420 Fest in Centennial Olympic Park in Atlanta, Georgia. It seemed like just an extraordinary turnout this year.
Gotta say, I mean, you know, that festival, for lack of a better term, goes. And it went. Let me tell you, it went. It's that place, it's so fun. It's such a good vibe. I played there once before with Mr. Marco Benevento back in 2018 and just loved it. I love a festival that takes place in the middle of a city. Call me new school, but I'm a big fan. I don't need the rural shit. I don't need the Jubilee in the woods. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm all for it, but it's really fun when you're just in the middle of Atlanta or Chicago or New York or wherever you may be. I think that's really fun. You just go in and it, you know, you take over, you know, the town square, and it just becomes a hippie palace. And it's really, really fun. I had an amazing set. Thank you. If anybody listening was there or streamed it or whatever, I felt the love in immeasurable ways. It was really special for me and my band. It might have been the biggest show my band's ever played. I am not going to lie to you. That crowd was pretty gargantuan for us, and I could not be more grateful. Things went well. We only had a 15-minute changeover, which if you are not a musician, let me just tell you, that is what I would refer to as a pain cave in the business. And by pain cave, I just mean, holy shit, this is, you know, the odds are stacked against you, and it's going to be difficult to dial that in to your specs. So, you know, you get a monitor mix, right? If you're a musician, you get a monitor mix, if they're in-ears or wedges or whatever. And, you know, you have a very short amount of time to make sure that what you're hearing on stage sounds like something that resembles music. So we basically, you know, had a very short amount of time to throw that together, but it all ended up working out. Great crew there. I was able to see a lot of music, actually. I saw some Taz, which was great. I saw some Lawrence, which was great. I saw some Gary Clark Jr., which was great. And I saw some String Cheese Incident, which was great. It was, oh, and some Lotus. Shout out to Lotus. They were fantastic. Tim Palmieri on guitar. Shout out, Tim. You are the greatest gift that Connecticut has ever bestowed upon us. Other than, you know, you're probably tied with Goose. I'm not going to lie to you. But you're up there, pal. You're up there, and you're amazing. It was a beautiful thing to behold. A great, great Friday of music. Of course, the festivities continued without me as I began my ascent from Atlanta back to New York via a car on Saturday morning. But amazing bands played over the weekend, including Goose, which they say that was their biggest show ever. 25,000 people.
25. Is that 25,000 people? Is that possible?
That's possible. I mean, that's what they wrote, and I buy it, you know, because they say that the end of their set, which is true, was uncontested, you know, and Jesus, if you look at those photographs, Isaac, I mean, it did look like the Clifford Ball. I mean, Jesus Christ, it looked insane, and I wish I could have been there to see it, and that's a huge mazel tov to those guys for a huge turnout, deservedly so. We played on the same stage. They played a slot after me. I'm honored and thrilled to have shared the stage with those guys. I think they're fantastic. I think they're doing something so, you know, creative and amazing in the scene. And they're, you know, deserving of all the accolades, and long may they reign. So that was very cool. And, of course, Tab played an awesome set, which included quite a few Phish songs, which was very kind of, you know, cool to see, including a Carini, which... Has Tab played Carini, Isaac? Can you tell me this? Have they played Carini?
They played it over the Beacon Jams.
Sure,
I don't know if they've played it since, but certainly over the Beacon Jams. And, of course, it closed out the Tab show, and it opened the run at Madison Square Garden. So, you know, Carini being taken out twice in this last little bit of Trey shows. And I think it's definitely a cool tune for Trey Band to play.
In a big way, in a big way. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really cool. And as you say, great, great way to kind of bookend, you know, Trey. I mean, and keeping on with the Trey accolades, my man works harder than anybody. He is straight up doing four nights at Madison Square Garden, then trucking it down to Atlanta just a few days later to play with the Trey Anastasio Band. And then just the following day, reuniting with his pals, Stuart Copeland and Les Claypool, to form the trio known as Oysterhead. And I mean, if he isn't the hardest working man in show business, I don't know who is, because that's it's quite a few clutch cargo gigs, as we say. It's pretty amazing. And he's got two more coming up next weekend. Trey's playing with his band at the newly opened Roadrunner in Boston, which everybody sings the praises of, and I can't wait to go check that place out. And, you know, it's just it's an admirable thing. I mean, 57 years old, might as well be 17. The energy of a 17-year-old, certainly, and it's just really amazing to see him absolutely demolish this festival in Atlanta after absolutely demolishing the Garden.
Well, and incredibly cool to close out a festival with a set from Oysterhead, you know, this trio with Trey, Stuart Copeland of The Police, and Les Claypool of Primus. I mean, that is a super group. It is a trio after both your own heart and my own heart, and also a real, you know, exemplary high caliber set of music, you know, jam music, right? Music that takes things out and improvises and gets weird in all the ways that we like. You know, I'm looking at the show up on Live Fish now. Tons of tunes that push the 10-minute mark, and you know, I listened to a bit of it yesterday. Amazing playing all around. I mean, the way that these three excellent musicians just play off each other and listen into each other and experiment, you know, on the spot. I was hearing Trey do things that I've never heard him do, you know, I think simply because of the combination of Copeland and Claypool.
Without a doubt. And, you know, I had this thought just the other day, you know, Stuart, right? Stuart Copeland, his band, right? His band he's known for, Trio, The Police. Les, you know, the band he's known for, Primus, a trio, right? So they're very familiar with the trio format. For Trey, this is his only trio, you know? And it's really an interesting thing to see sort of a rhythm section that is, you know, very comfortable with the three-person format, you know, band-wise, do their thing. Obviously, the absolute, you know, peak of their game, and by peak of their game I mean, you know, the greatest in the game to do what they do, if you ask me, you know. And then you have a guy like Trey, who's obviously known for his Vermont quartet, the Fish from Vermont, and him kind of sliding right in there and, you know, getting down with the trio format like a motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? And it's just cool to see, you know, him kind of sit on top and blend right in with those two guys who are obviously wildly familiar with the trio format. And, you know, I don't know. And if in my eyes, you know, Les, in terms of being the bass player and frontman of a trio, does it better and unlike absolutely anybody. So you kind of couldn't, you know, dream up a more dreamlike scenario in my eyes. Of course, this is all subjective, baby, but pretty freaking awesome. And that was Oysterhead's first show since last year's Peach Fest. Am I correct on that? I believe that's correct. So
I believe that's correct. I mean, the other thing about it is that they convene for this set and then they go their separate ways. You know, it really is kind of lightning in a bottle if you can catch it.
Absolutely. And that's the other part. Like, you know, we were just saying, like, you know, Trey, how hard he's been working, you know, I really can't imagine a world where they don't rehearse at least once before a set like that, right? So, like, maybe they're rehearsing in Atlanta, maybe they're rehearsing elsewhere, don't know. Claypool was also playing with Bastard Jazz quite a bit last week leading up to the gig, so not sure the logistics, but, you know, pretty exemplary stuff. And you got to imagine that Tab rehearsed at least once last week. Right? Mm-hmm. So you go from selling out all these Garden shows and then diving right in to these other incredible projects and bands and whatnot. It's a really, you know, quite an undertaking. And it's just crazy that, you know, we get to enjoy the fruits of this man's labor, the fruits of all of their labor. And super, super, super cool. So yes, Sweetwater 420 Fest, so many bands played. You know, we just mentioned the big headliners there, but man, a beautiful festival. Isaac, I hope I'm booked next year, and I hope you come, because I really think you'd like it. And we'd have a blast.
Oh, I have no doubt. I mean, this is a festival that I've been trying to get down to for a long time, and I'm, you know, just glad to see you're on the bill in a regular way. Certainly hope to make it down next year.
Totally. Me too. Fingers crossed. Let's do it.
So while all of that's happening, first weekend of Jazz Fest, Jazz and Heritage Festival in New Orleans, it goes down. And, Jazz Fest had a tough run during COVID. It tried to put on a festival last fall, and that was postponed. And so the gates finally opened for Jazz Fest, which is, you know, it's a hard festival to report on because it's such a kind of choose your own adventure kind of format, with the fairgrounds at day and then so many different shows happening throughout the night all over New Orleans. And, it really kind of challenges the model of a music festival because all kinds of stuff pops up everywhere. And in that spirit, the Preservation Hall Jazz Band welcomed Pete Townsend of The Who, Gary Clark Jr., and Jason Isbell for their Midnight Preserve show at Preservation Hall itself.
I mean, talk about a hot selection of musicians. That's amazing. Like, wow. As you say, you know, it's so great. It just warms the cockles of my old dead heart to finally see this festival come back to life. It's maybe, if you ask me, honestly, maybe the most important festival in the United States of America, because Jazz Fest is a festival unlike any other, and New Orleans is a city unlike any other in these United States, and it is the only city that is built on its culture. It is, you know, it's not an afterthought there. You know, New York has culture, had culture, whatever, but it's built on big business and banks and all these things. New Orleans, that is what they are. That is what they are, will live and die for. And, you know, the fact that we all flock there every year to run it the fuck up in all of the ways, you know, is the most incredible thing. And they do it unlike anywhere else. And I'm just so glad that finally, 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 they could have their festival again and we could all enjoy, you know, what we've all enjoyed for so many years at long last. You know, it's so cool to see. And man, Pete Townsend at Prez Hall. And I don't know if you saw, Isaac, did you see that Mr. Dave Grohl was in attendance?
Oh, that's very cool.
That is some hot goss right there. And, you know, of course, Dave Grohl, you know, my heart still, you know, bleeds for him because, my God, you know, losing Kurt many years ago and, of course, losing Taylor recently. And I you just can't even fathom what that feels like. And my heart goes out to him. And it's just really amazing to see him out enjoying music in New Orleans. That's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. It's, as we know, music is the most healing force of nature. So that is, that's the best. You know, I'm just glad he was there soaking it all up. And it's amazing. Pete Townsend getting it proper. And he mentioned on stage, right, that he wished that he could play on stage, sorry, at Jazz Fest itself, you know, at the festival. He said he wished he had time to play When the Saints Go Marching In, but he didn't have any. But then I believe he got his fill later that night at Prez Hall. So that's it's kismet, man. It's kismet. It's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. And speaking of Dave Grohl, you know, Red Hot Chili Peppers stepped in after the Foo Fighters had to back out, and they sent their love out to Taylor with Taylor's widow and Dave Grohl standing at the side of the stage. I from what I gather, it was a very meaningful shout out from the stage and a lot of love from the audience for Taylor. And as you said it, you know, music is the most healing thing. And, you know, that I really believe in the power of the New Orleans Fairgrounds. It is just an incredible place to see music. Music comes to life in a different way there. It sounds different to my ears to be in New Orleans hearing music. The birds sing in a different way there. I mean, it's just everywhere. And, you know, I'm really sad to not be making it down for either weekend of Jazz Fest this year. It's the first year since I started going that it'll be happening and I won't be there. But We'll get them next year for sure. And oh gosh, I hope everyone's having so much fun at Jazz Fest.
Yeah, I know. I feel the same way. I know. It's my first year not going since, you know, I started going and playing and the whole nine. I feel the same way. I hope everybody is just soaking it in, you know, like a sponge, baby. What a thing. And it is a special, special place, as we keep saying, but we deserve to keep saying it because it's, man, if you haven't been, good Lord, stop what you're doing. Get down there. You got a week. Sorry.
Like, pulling up to your show with Marco at the Blue Nile on Frenchman Street, and I guess the will call and tickets were being distributed off of the back of a pickup truck parked outside of the venue, and like we had everyone from like people we met earlier that day to like people we went to high school with like lined up down the block coming to see you, and like your set didn't start till like 4 a.m. and but it all felt right, you know, like it's a hot, humid, crazy place, and that's like not even a bother at all. Like, it's just continues to be exhilarating and mystifying, and as your friend says, full of voodoo. And
exactly. I shout out to my dear friend Brian Kabatsnik, who told me, you know, who is, you know, a 60-year-old gentleman who works in the music business, and told me right before I went down to Jazz Fest for the first time, he says, Karina, have the best time. New Orleans is a place full of wonder and magic, but it's also full of witchcraft and voodoo, so be careful out there. And I took that shit to heart. What a special place. I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, that's like what makes it special, right? It's like, you know, that show was probably supposed to happen at 2 a.m., probably didn't start until 4 a.m., and guess what? Everybody's good to go because it's Jazz Fest and it's New Orleans and it's like, what happens down there? So
nobody
just amazing
thinks twice.
Yeah, totally. And to be ensconced in that vibe is so special. And it only, you know, again, could only happen in a place like New Orleans. And oh my God. I mean, I just am thinking about, another anecdote about New Orleans.
Please,
this didn't even happen. Yeah, right. This didn't even happen during Jazz Fest, folks, but I'm going to tell you about it anyway. And man, you guys, I mean, Isaac, Inappropriate Happiness listeners are getting the hot goss today because this is some deep shit. Anyway, January, right? I have a show down with Marco in New Orleans at the Blue Nile. Totally not Jazz Fest, totally not Mardi Gras, unrelated headlining show. Great. Amazing. Leading up to this show, I'm looking down at my leg and like I have all these weird spots all over my leg and they keep on developing and getting weird. We've been on the road for like 2 weeks and my dear team of experts, Julian Booker and Jeff Volkhausen, sound and lights, right? I'm like, fellas, what do you suppose this is? And I pull up my like jeans and they're like, ah, girl, you want to go get that checked out? So I go to the urgent care clinic and I'm like, hey guys, what do you suppose this is? And it turns out I, your girl Karina Reichman, yes, I had ringworm on my leg. Oh, sister, no, I know. And I'm horrified. Turns out you just put a little topical something or other on it and it goes away. All right. But then we get to New Orleans, right? You know, going off of the craziness of this complete lunatic adventure that I'm on, right? We're having a great time after the show. We're hanging out with the promoter. It's all good. Drinking tequila, having a hell of a time. It's probably 6 a.m., who's to say? But I felt compelled to go to the promoter and be like, yo, you ever see this shit before? And I pulled up my jeans and I showed him what ratchet shit was going on my leg, just, you know, for a laugh or, you know, for shock value, I don't know. And then that gentleman proceeded to go, oh, girl, that's all you got? And then he pulled up his pant leg and showed me probably the craziest leg I've ever seen in my life. He had some crazy, mangled, insane shit going on. And then we laughed and laughed and laughed and high-fived about our crazy legs And that was that. And I just felt like a great time in New Orleans. Thank you guys. Thank you for listening.
We are not editing this out.
We are not editing this out. This is remaining on the podcast.
The air. Jesus.
We are going down, dude. We love it.
We do.
Osiris.
Thank you, Osiris.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Osiris.
We got to keep it real.
Speaking of crazy things happening in amazing places. Country music legend Garth Brooks.
Oh, shit. I wonder what his leg looks like.
Played Tiger Stadium and Louisiana State University campus in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, not far away from New Orleans, this past weekend for a sold-out show that set a record because it was registered as a small earthquake. According to a seismograph reading recorded during the concert. I mean, here's what happened. So he has this song called Call in Baton Rouge, which is a song I really love, which is the unofficial anthem of Saturday nights in Louisiana at Louisiana State University. And I guess the opening fiddle strains of the song began, and the whole building erupted to a place where it could be tracked. I was really a lot more excited about this in anticipation for recording this. I don't know how that bit of information is coming off to the listeners, but...
Oh, they love it. They love it. Seismographical, brother. Seismographic readings. Earthquake shit. I mean, if that isn't a incredible display of inappropriate happiness at a concert, I don't know what is, baby. I don't know what is. Give me your earthquake.
You can go online and look at the seismic data, and you can just see where Call in Baton Rouge started and where the building, I guess, got enough excitement to cause a small earthquake. I just think that's relevant. We need to know about things like this.
I couldn't agree more. And let the record show that, Isaac, this is not only the LSU Saturday night anthem, this is also your pandemic anthem, I would argue. You used to put some headphones on and bug out to this song in the dog days of the pandemic, and that deserves a rousing applause. It's a
beautiful
thing.
This is true. Yeah, no, it was definitely a comfort song for me. It's actually, Garth Brooks doesn't have his music on like streaming services except for like Amazon Music, so I just have Garth Brooks' greatest hits is like the one thing I have on Amazon, and my Amazon regularly recommends me country music. It's like Isaac's mix, and it's all of this like pop country because of all of my streams of Call in Baton Rouge. So you know that if I were there in what's called Death Valley at Tiger Stadium last weekend, I would have been going absolutely wild for the opening fiddle notes of Call in Baton Rouge.
I mean, if that ain't a hootenanny, I don't know what is. I mean, that we really should have been there. Honestly, you really should have been there, but you can't be everywhere.
I didn't even know about this happening. Like, it didn't cross my mind to go to Baton Rouge to see Garth Brooks, but now I don't think I'll miss a Baton Rouge show.
I mean, you got to stay on top of that shit. I think you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So good. Seismographic data, dude. That is the shit we need to be covering here on Inappropriate Happiness. I think it's fantastic. And listen, if you were there and you were just getting it like your plane was going down, we tip our hats to you down there in Baton Rouge. I think it's the best thing ever. This is fantastic.
Way to go.
I think it's a great story. Great story.
Small earthquake. Anyway, Karina, I think we did it.
We should probably put a bow on this thing. What do you say?
I say that Inappropriate Happiness is part of Osiris, and Osiris creates music podcasts and events to help music fans deepen their connection to the music they love. To check out all of our shows, you got to check out osirispod.com. And Osiris works in partnership with Jambase, which connects music fans with the music they love and empowers them to go see live music. We hope we've empowered you to go see live music. If you haven't already today, or even if you have, put on the Beastie Boys, listen to some Beastie Boys, have yourself a time.
Oh, yeah. I get absolutely crunk with it. Oh, my God. If you're not doing that, yeah, yeah. No, that's the automatic recipe to feeling better, even if you didn't feel bad to begin with. It's fantastic. I will say I am on another Osiris Network podcast this week. I am the featured guest on Maggie Rose's Salute the Songbird. So if you aren't sick of me yet, you can go over there and hear me wax poetic about more bullshit and fun stuff. And very thrilled to talk to Maggie. She is a delight, and I look forward to playing with her, or rather on the same bill as her, at the David Shaw Big River Get Down on May 21st. That will be a real time. So thank you for having me, Maggie. Thank you, Osiris, for putting us on. And I'd like to give a resounding shout out. I should have done this last week, but I need to shout out my dear friend, Marshall, from Asheville, who, lo and behold, let my band and crew take over his house in the beautiful town of Asheville. And he quite literally handed over the keys, went and stayed with a friend, and we took it over. And I recorded last week's podcast from his abode. And he was really stoked on that prospect. He is a listener. And if you're listening now, Marshall, can't thank you enough. And by that, by that token, Steph, who enabled this whole thing, thank you as well. You are a delight. My Asheville Massive, very strong. Thank you so much for having us. And thank you to everybody who came out on Too Many Zoos / Karina tour last week, guys. This was so fun. And I'm thrilled to be out there doing what I love, playing music for the masses, and it doesn't happen unless the people go and see that live music. So thank you for coming, and thank you for buying the merch, and thank you for saying hey, and you know, just being all around really cool, dope people. And on that note, go see live music. Our producer is Marlo Shankweiler. We shout out our friend Brian Brinkman, who pulls this whole thing together. Thank you, RJB, for being the guy, dude, the main dude in charge. All you people are so wonderful. We're thrilled to be a part of your lovely network. And Isaac, I love you like a brother. Thank you so much. Ridiculous times.
Thank you. It just keeps getting better and better. Shout out to all of those people and all of you listeners at home or wherever you are. Home, Jazz Fest, hopefully Jazz Fest.
Yeah. You know, and hopefully you're listening the days between and you're like, you know, getting ready for weekend two, shit's about to pop off, and you're taking a little siesta. Maybe you're in a hammock. Maybe you're just on Frenchman, cold lamping it, trying to get a dat dog. If you don't know about dat dog, you gotta get dat dog. Google it, dat dog. Anyway, we send you our best. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time.
Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Don't walk on grass, oh no. Osiris.
One Hit Thunder is a podcast where we both celebrate and have a good laugh about bands and artists that had just one hit that we all know. Each week, we're joined by a guest from the world of music or comedy to learn more than you ever thought you would about some songs that you can't forget. And we decide if they brought the One Hit Thunder or were nothing more than a one hit blunder. Look, if you listen to the show, you're probably going to laugh, and I guarantee you're going to crush next time the bar has music trivia. Tag Team, Jane Child, Meredith Brooks, Looking Glass, Sean Mullins, Eiffel 65, EMF, Crash Test Dummies, Crazy Town, Chumbawamba. We have hundreds of episodes in our back catalog and a new episode each week, so pass the Dutchie, make sure you're connected, and subscribe to One Hit Thunder wherever you get your pods.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.